Hey everyone, I'm Franco Terrazano, the Federal Director of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. You're, of course, watching and listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast, where we fight for lower taxes, less waste, more accountable government. I'm here with some friends and some colleagues. We got Chris Sims in beautiful Lethbridge, Alberta, right around the corner from Moss Place. Chris, how you doing?
Very good. I haven't been sleeping much, though.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Carson, how are you? He's our BC director.
That's right. Holding down the fort deep behind enemy lines in downtown Vancouver.
Well, yeah, I like to think about the same as myself here in Mordor or the Swamp of the North, a.k.a. Ottawa. You know, folks, let's get right into it because we got a lot to talk about on our key fight, which is the carbon tax. Before we get into it, I should probably just tell everyone the date of this, right? We're recording in the afternoon, January the 10th in Ottawa. Well, I'm in Ottawa and it's Friday. And the reason we're saying that is because there's so much going on. There's so much volatility in Ottawa that we might end recording here and something completely new might happen given all of the liberal leadership race that is going on right now. Now, Chris, I know you're following this carbon tax, the new liberal leadership campaign like a hawk. So why don't you just give all of our good folks out there a bit of a breakdown on what's happening on the carbon tax front?
So for sure. So this is going to sound a little weird at first, but hear me out. I think the liberals are going to scrap the carbon tax. So here's why. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau brought this thing in to the office, okay? Picture this thing is like an ugly gargoyle statue, okay? That the boss brings into the office and he sticks it right in the middle of the office. And everybody hates it, but he makes everybody love it and defend it all the time. So all of his ministers, all of his minions, all the flying monkeys in Ottawa had to do exactly what the boss said the whole time. You love that thing. You defend it right now. He's leaving. Trudeau is going out the door. And this carbon tax is so unpopular. Like last year when we did a poll before the carbon tax hike, 70% of Canadians, 70% of Canadians were opposed to that carbon tax hike then. It's even more expensive now. Can you imagine, as a Liberal member of parliament, much less the brand new minted Liberal leader, getting back into parliament March 24th, throne speech, confidence vote, government falls, then you crank up the carbon tax on April 1st, then you hit the campaign trail. Knock, knock, who's there? Carbon tax hike, can I have your vote? So this is why we're saying, guys, the Liberal Party might scrap this thing before the election actually gets going. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right now with the state of play and the carbon tax. Some people have said, hey, you guys are crazy. The Liberals love the carbon tax. You guys, politicians do flip-flops like the Olympics. They're in the gym class right now.
Yeah, they love taking taxpayers' money. Probably the one thing they love more than taking taxpayers' money is holding on to their cushy six-figure political job.
Sure do.
Right? And they can see the writing on the wall just like anyone else that the carbon tax is an absolute political loser. It's a stinker. And like that's why it's such a good time right now to keep up the pressure against the carbon tax. Let's scrap it right now. You know, let's not wait for that next election. Let's not wait for the government to crank it up one more time. We have to keep the pressure on the carbon tax. And we got to keep our foot on the gas pedal there. Now, Carson, we want to bring you up on the show for a couple reasons. Like, number one, you just had an election out there in BC a couple months ago. There's a lot of stuff that was going on during that provincial election. And now it seems that you're crazy busy on the carbon tax front in British Columbia, too. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an update of what you're seeing all the way out there on the left coast?
Absolutely. And just to start with, it's worth noting that in the provincial election we just had, everyone was running against the carbon tax. You had John Rustad and the Conservatives saying they'd axe it on day one, regardless of what happens in Ottawa. And then on the other hand, you had David Eby and the NDP saying they'd axe it as soon as Ottawa gives them permission. So in BC, we already saw that the carbon tax is not something that you can campaign on. If you're knocking on doors telling folks that you're going to make it more expensive to heat their homes in the winter or to drive their kids to school, you shouldn't expect too many folks to take your name on the ballot. But BC is back in the news for a big reason when it comes to the carbon tax. And that's because a bunch of the people who want to replace Justin Trudeau as leader of the Liberal Party and Prime Minister of Canada come from my backyard here in beautiful British Columbia. So one of the folks who's already announced that she's in it to win it is former BC Premier Christy Clark. Now, Christy Clark became Premier in 2011 and held it right up until the mid-20-teens. But what she's really notable for is she's one of the people who we have to blame for the carbon tax mess that Canada's in right now. When she was premier, BC already had a carbon tax. We'd adopted it way back in 2008 when she was a cabinet minister in the Gordon Campbell government. But back then, the carbon tax was revenue neutral. Every dollar that government collected from the carbon tax, they used to offset other taxes. Personal income tax, corporate income tax, and small business taxes were offset with the revenue raised from the carbon tax. But Christy Clark didn't like that. Her eyes had big dollar signs in them, and she stopped the carbon tax's revenue neutrality. And she cooked the books to fib to taxpayers about doing it. She started bundling all these pre-existing tax credits into the formula they used to argue the carbon tax was revenue neutral. They took film tax credits that had been around for 15 years and used it to argue that the carbon tax was revenue neutral. So, I mean, we had all sorts of people in BC at the time pointing it out, calling her foul, saying that this was just an accounting exercise. Yeah, Chris, you were there in the front lines in the trenches holding the Clark government. It was the
I gotta say, it was in the middle of the friggin' budget lockup. It was the finance department's bureaucrat that said, this is all just an accounting exercise. It was wild, person. Wild.
I can't imagine. So by 2013, she took this carbon tax that was supposed to cost us $0 because it was all offset. And in 2013, it cost British Columbians more than $200 million. Fast forward to today, because the NDP just kept that carbon tax train rolling in British Columbia, and it's going to cost us $3 billion in 2025. Even after you look at the kind of pathetic little scampy rebates that the BC NDP sends out, it's going to cost $2 billion for BC taxpayers. So Christy Clark took this carbon tax that, you know, it worked. It's not, I don't like carbon taxes, but it balanced out. And she absolutely torpedoed it. And I mean, across Canada, if you hate the carbon tax, you've got Christy Clark to thank for it, because the federal Liberals copied and pasted BC's model onto the rest of Canada.
Big time. Did you say scampy? I haven't heard the word scampy in so long. That was good.
You know, I like to throw in some creative words every now and then. But Christy Clark's not alone. We also have Andrew Wilkinson, a member of parliament from North Vancouver, minister of industry, who's looking at running to be head of the Liberal Party too. Now, Wilkinson won't say whether he will axe the carbon tax if he gets the top job. That's a problem, folks. This should be a no-brainer. A no-brainer for the people running to replace Trudeau. The carbon tax makes life more expensive. It's not solving the emissions, our BC's emissions or Canada's emissions. It makes life more expensive. They need to come out and clearly say they are going to axe the tax.
This is kind of nice. I can just sit back here and you guys are just teeing off. This is
great. We've been working a lot this week, Franco.
You guys have been. Yeah, you guys look tired.
I didn't have time to grab my leather jacket. I think I might have slept in this friggin' carbon tax t-shirt. Like, it's wild. Now, Franco has been on a secret mission. We can't tell you what. All week. I know, right? I'm just saying it on the podcast, so it's super secret. He's been on a secret mission all week. So it's been the rest of us flying monkeys that have been dispersed from the castle. And so this is why we're ripping it up, trying to get rid of this carbon tax before the election even starts. One, because we need to get rid of it. Two, because it's costing you money. Like, right now, time is money. It's costing you money now, and they're going to crank it up on April 1st. So better to get rid of it now. But yeah, Franco, you look well rested.
I feel great. Hey, Carson, I want to go back to you in a quick second here, but speaking of, it's going to cost you even more money. Chris, what, like, let's just repeat to the fine folks out there watching and listening, how much is the carbon tax costing or will cost as of April 1 when the Trudeau government hikes it up again? The Trudeau government, the Liberal government, I should say now, I guess.
Exactly. It's the Liberal government. So as of April 1st, okay, the carbon tax, the federal single carbon tax, as of April 1st, will cost you about 21 cents per liter of gasoline and about 25 cents per liter of diesel. They're also increasing the carbon tax on home heating fuels, such as natural gas and propane. Furnace oil still gets a carve out. Remember that? Out in the Maritimes. So everything is going to get more expensive because of this. That means filling up your family minivan is going to cost you about $15 extra in the carbon tax. Pickup truck, about $25 extra in the carbon tax. Big rig trucker that delivers everything we eat and use. Folks, no matter where you are, look around you. Everything around you was on a truck one time or five. Okay? That's why it makes everything cost more. That big rig trucker handing over $250 extra per fill up just for using diesel. Same thing goes for your home heating. So the average person, the average household in Ontario, for example, it's around $380 or so extra they're going to be paying in the carbon tax. Here in Alberta, the average household is going to be about $440 extra in the carbon tax. So that's the state of play. And keep in mind, folks, even just last year, the Canadian Trucking Alliance said that the carbon tax is costing their long-haul truckers, not including short-haul trips, long-haul truckers, $2 billion. So this is why it's a tax on everything. And that tax on everything is going up April 1st.
And of course, on farmers too, right? Because like they're still paying the carbon tax on the natural gas and propane that they use to heat their barns, right? Dry their grain. It's the carbon tax has cost them about $1 billion by 2030, right? So, I mean, look, hey, you get a carbon tax, you make people's more lives more expensive, including to get groceries. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out how the carbon tax trickles its way throughout the economy, right? You make it more expensive for farmers to grow food. You make it more expensive for truckers to deliver food. Well, you make it more expensive for everyone to buy food. You know, a lot of times we hear about, oh, the rebates, oh, the rebates, oh, the rebates. Well, I mean, the government's own independent budget watchdog shows that the carbon tax in 2025 will cost the average family up to about $477 more than what they're getting back in rebates. And oh, a little cherry on top for us taxpayers is that the government is charging its sales tax on top of the carbon tax, right? So this carbon tax on tax alone will cost Canadians about $500 million this year alone. And the government doesn't even pretend to rebate that money back to you. So massive costs. Again, like this is why we're so on board and we're trying to get people to understand, like, we have to scrap this thing now. Like, we can't wait for another election. We have to push these Liberal leadership candidates to come out swinging against the carbon tax for once and for all. Carson, I want to swing back to you, right? Because I think we've beat this thing to death in terms of the carbon tax making the necessities of life more expensive. I think everyone outside of, 24 Sussex or Rideau Cottage understands that little point of life. But Carson, the flip side that a carbon tax activist or advocate will push forward is that, like, look, the carbon tax helps the environment, right? And you being in BC, where the federal carbon tax was modeled after, well, Carson, is the BC carbon tax helping the environment?
All right, folks, sit down, because this is going to be a major news drop. This may shock some of you, so sit down for it. Surprise, surprise, the carbon tax has not worked to reduce our emissions like the politicians like to promise. So for a little history lesson, BC was the first jurisdiction in North America, not just in Canada, but on the continent, to bring in a carbon tax way back in 2008. And at the time, Premier Gordon Campbell promised British Columbians that it would reduce emissions by about 33%. He was so confident that he passed a law. He passed a law saying the carbon tax would reduce emissions by 33% by 2020. Now, folks, do you want to guess what happened there? The carbon tax failed. It did not reduce emissions by that 33% target, not even close. In fact, as of the 2022, which is the most recent year we have government emissions data for, the carbon tax has, the carbon emissions rather, have actually gone up. So the carbon tax didn't magically reduce our emissions. Believe it or not, making it more expensive hasn't taxed away the need to heat your home when those wild West Coast winds are howling. It hasn't taxed away your need to drive to work or get your kids to hockey practice afterwards. It has just made life more expensive without that promised environmental gain. So this carbon tax, it's not an environment plan. It's not a plan to reduce emissions. It's a tax grab that government takes and leaves you worse off, while also making everything that gets to store shelves on a truck more expensive.
Carbon tax up, emissions up, amount of money left in people's wallets down. And two reasons why, to build on what you said, Carson, that the carbon tax is not an environmental solution. I mean, number one, to your point, right, what the carbon tax does is that it punishes people for the necessities of life. Fueling up your car to get to work, heating your home during the cold winter months, putting food in your family's fridge. Those are necessities. So the government is driving up the cost of necessities with this carbon tax. People aren't just going to stop eating or stop driving to work or stop heating their homes. What happens is that now people have less money in their budgets for other priorities, like saving for their kids' universities and college tuition, right? So that's number one. And as the data that you just presented, I mean, emissions are up now in British Columbia compared to when the carbon tax was brought in. So clearly it didn't work. But number two, and this is something that Trudeau himself back in 2018 even acknowledged, that we could shut down every single industry in Canada. Canada could emit no more emissions and it still wouldn't move the needle on global emissions, right? Canada, 1.4% of global emissions. Yeah. That's it, okay? The vast majority of countries, 70% of countries do not have a national carbon tax. That includes some of the biggest emitters in the world, like Russia, like India, like Brazil, and like the United States. No carbon tax from Congress in the United States, right? The Democrats under Obama, no carbon tax, right? The Democrats under Biden, no carbon tax. The Republicans haven't imposed a carbon tax. Good luck getting Donald Trump to try to impose a carbon tax. So this is what we're talking about, folks. Like, Canadians are getting hammered by so many carbon taxes, it's hard to keep track of. Yet the vast majority of countries, including the U.S., don't have a national carbon tax.
Big time. Can I just jump in here as a small E environmentalist who grew up on Vancouver Island? This, number one, it's a huge failure because it's costing so many people so much money. And to your point about, you know, saving for kids' education, most people aren't even there anymore. Like, we've got about 50%, close to half of Canadians now saying they're within $200 every month of not making their minimum payments on their bills, meaning their minimum payment on their line of credit, their minimum payment on that credit card, the minimum payment on the car that they've got sitting in the driveway, maybe when they try to get to work. We've got close to 50% of Canadians in that spot. And now just an entire generation of young people who can't afford a house, much less be able to save up money for a down payment for a house. Like, this is so critical. So we've got that kind of financial punishment, okay, that is being helped along. It's not solely, but being helped along by the carbon tax, that kind of financial punishment. While on the other hand, the big promises, Carson, you were talking about back in 2008, I was at the CTV Parliamentary Bureau then. I remember distinctly when they brought in that carbon tax in BC, they said it was going to be revenue neutral, that it was going to stop at $30 a ton, that it was going to trigger a plethora of affordable alternative energy options that people will just be able to switch to, like hydrogen. It'll be right there. And they said it was going to make emissions go down. None of those things is true. Not one. And that was back in 2008. All we've got to show for this is a lot of people in Canada with a lot less money and not the environmental gain that we had all been promised. And I'm speaking from the heart here because I grew up on Vancouver Island. My friends went to Clackwat Sound, okay? I hand-sewed my baby's cloth diapers. This has taken so much oxygen out of what used to be the environmental movement, which is now just a shameless cash grab by government. So it is a failure all the way around.
Well, damn. You sold me, Chris.
Sorry.
That was very good. No, I love that little TED Talk. But
you want to come hug trees with me, Franco, next time?
I do not. No.
Fine.
But look, like, I think this is a good point to wrap it up because, Chris, I think you put the bow on it very nicely there. So, Chris, I think to conclude here, I would like you to kind of take us home two ways. OK, so number one, again, folks, it's Friday, January the 10th that we're recording this on. Chris, number one, what is the current state of play in this Liberal leadership contest? You know, kind of what are the important timelines for people to understand in terms of leadership race? Parliament resumes carbon tax hike. So that's number one. Where are we within the leadership race right now? Where do you kind of see it going? And then number two, what, like, why don't you just wrap up all of this into one taxpayer pro tip for us?
For sure. So let's start with the Liberal leadership race. So as of right now, they are currently scrambling and getting all their rules and parameters and all that together. Okay. They should have all of their nominations ish in close to the end of this month. Towards the end of January. They're hoping, and I'm using a lot of parentheses here because things can change, they're hoping to have a new Liberal leader named within their party after a leadership contest mid-March. So maybe, you know, first or second-ish week of March, depending on how quickly they can do that. So mid-March, we're going to have a new Liberal leader of Canada and a de facto new prime minister. Some people don't know that. Yes, the new Liberal leader will be the new prime minister, even if he or she does not have a seat in the House of Commons. Okay? Then the House of Commons reconvenes after prorogation March 24th. On March 24th or 25th, right around there, really quickly, because they have to legally, we have a speech from the throne, which is supposed to set out their grand vision for the next session of Parliament. That is a confidence vote. They could fall on that throne speech, okay? After that, if they survive the throne speech vote, we have supply motions in the House of Commons on the floor. Basically, what that means is to keep the finances moving, to keep the lights on in Parliament. That's also a confidence vote. So that week of March 24th is critical. So they will likely, if Jagmeet Singh keeps his promise, they will likely fall that week. April 1st, though, we have an automatic carbon tax hike. Imagine that timeline. Brand new Liberal leader, boom, brat back into Parliament, boom, March 24th, throne speech, you fall on that. April 1st, carbon tax hike, then they hit the hustings. Then they hit the campaign trail. So this is why folks who are part of the taxpayer army and who are thinking about joining it, that's why it's so critical to act right now. And this is why we want you to join the Tax Fighter Army for two reasons. One, because, well, it's fun, guys. This is the fun part of the fight. A lot of people, including our listeners and our viewers and our donors, thank you so much, have been in this fight for so long. And it's been a bit of a grind sometimes, okay? Because we know it's bloody expensive and it's frustrating. Now is the time. It's the fun time. There are cracks in the hull of this ship. They could blink on this carbon tax at any second and we can win this fight. So everybody head over to the website taxpayer.com and sign the petition for that reason. And two, if this is what gets you going in the morning, Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party, who is running in the next election and the polls say could likely be the next prime minister, has said out loud with his face to Dr. Jordan Peterson, I can't do this by myself. Folks need to stay in the arena, they need to stay engaged, and they need to fight for things like scrapping the carbon tax. So that is how you help join the taxpayer army, because we're the ones that help you send out thousands of emails at a time. We all push at the same time. So head on over to our website, taxpayer.com, go to the petitions, sign the petition to scrap the carbon tax, and you're part of the taxpayer army.
Well, Chris, that was great. Everyone, thank you for listening and or watching. If you're only listening, well, go over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button. There you go. Watch me choke over my words. And folks, we're going to be back soon. But hey, now is the time to get engaged, sign that scrap the carbon tax petition, and let's push these MPs to finally axe this tax. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you next time.